Today, my message is going to be around the Christmas story. And you know, there are two Gospels that talk about the Christmas story. Anybody know one of them? Which Gospel? Matthew. What's the other? Luke. Matthew and Luke have the Christmas story. And Mark and John do not include the Christmas story. And young people, when you think of those that were around the Christmas story, who can tell me who were out by the by Bethlehem on the hills? Who? What group of people were out there? The shepherds. Who came from a long way and brought their gifts? The wise men. That's right. And there was a very, very important young lady around the Christmas story. And what was her name? Mary. That is right. So I'd like for you to open your Bibles, because we're going to focus on Mary today. And it's interesting because when you look at the book of Matthew, it has a list of genealogy for Joseph, and the emphasis in the book of Matthew is around Joseph. In the book of Luke, it has a genealogy around Mary, and the focus is on the story of Mary. So Luke chapter 1, as we had Brother Ron read from the story of chapter 1. When you pick it up in verse 26, you know, sometimes we read the stories, they're interesting, and we remember the stories and share them, but maybe we haven't asked ourselves, what does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about really this person, Mary? And today we're going to ask ourselves some of these questions. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, let's start reading. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One that is born to be born of you shall be called the Son of God.'" So we know that story, don't we? But the first thing that jumps out to me is, wow, the angel shows up without knocking at the door. And he knows exactly where to go. He knows where she lives. She lives in Nazareth. God knows what type of girl she is. It says she's a virgin. And he also knows she's soon to be Mary. Her husband is to be called Joseph. And her name is Mary. So just take a look at that. The angel Gabriel is sent by God to a city called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to her husband of the household of David. God knows more about us than Homeland Security. And just think, the angel comes in, and Mary is going about her regular day's work. Was the angel embarrassed by what she was doing or where she was at the time? No. And so the question that would come to me, wow, what if an angel decided to come to visit me? Would they be comfortable to come where I am? And would they enjoy being part of what I'm doing? So it tells you that what she was doing and where she was comfortable with God. And I ask myself, she did know the angel was coming, and the angel was very comfortable and knew exactly where she lived, the house she was in, knew her name. And that tells me that God knows more about us than we think. And it's a delightful thing, but also tells us, hey, we need to be comfortable all the time. Can any of you predict if an angel is going to come visit you? Would you guarantee that there would never be an angel to come and visit you? If you had asked Mary, she probably said, oh, no, no, an angel would never come visit me. Well, God may choose to come visit you sometime. You must be open to that. So if he does come, you want to make sure you're in the places that he would feel comfortable and you'd be doing what God would feel comfortable with as well. I like the thought, the verse opens up now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, 6 months. Why would it mention 6 months? Anybody know why it would say in the sixth month the angel came to visit Mary? What does that tell you, the 6 month? 6 months of what? Elizabeth, right, because the first part of the book of Luke talks about the angel coming to Zacharias and said that Elizabeth was going, who had no children, in their old age, they were going to have children. And then it says in the 6 month, the angel came and talked to Mary. I like that. Why do you like that? I like that because you have Elizabeth and you have Zacharias that are senior citizens, and you have Mary, who's probably a young teenager. It's intergenerational. Around the birth of Jesus, he includes the seniors and includes the young people. It's an intergenerational. And I think that that's the way that God has pleasure when we operate as a church. It's not just for the seniors. It's not just for the children. It's for both. God enjoys intergenerational. And I'm just thrilled that God would say, okay, I'm going to use Zacharias and Elizabeth, and I'm going to perform a miracle because they're well beyond having children. And the one that's going to herald the coming of Jesus, John the Baptist, I'm going to involve a senior citizen and involve a miracle and entrust to a young girl, Mary, that she's going to carry the Messiah, and she's a young person, and together we will fulfill God's plan in bringing the Messiah into the world. I think that's awesome. I like that. Now, verses 26 to 31, the angel tells Mary certain things. The first thing he says, you should rejoice, in verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. Now, do we all believe that God loves all of us? Yes, we do. God loves the world. He loves the people in the world. But you know, one thing of interest in the Bible, not everybody, even though all are loved, not everybody is favored. Would you like to be not only loved by God, would you like to be favored by God? Can you think of another person in the Bible where God looks down and that person found grace in the eyes of God? He was favored by God and chosen for a special work. Any particular person comes to mind? Noah, yes. Story of Noah. God looks down. I'm looking for a special person. Now, this special person had prepared themselves, not knowing how God might use them, but they had prepared themselves, and God looked down and said, oh, this person has prepared themselves. I can choose them for the special work. Not only do we want to be loved by God, but we should strive to qualify ourselves to be favored by God so that he can use us for special purposes. So she should rejoice. Next, she's highly favored. She has the presence of God with her. She is blessed above women. She will conceive and have a son, and she should call his name Jesus. She should rejoice, is favored, is blessed, will have a special son. Why? Why should she rejoice? Because she's chosen by God. Chosen by God. We think it pretty important to be chosen by political people or sports heroes for some special thing. But just think, to be chosen by God. And what does God say in Peter, 1 Peter 2:9? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. God has chosen people who love him to give a special representation of himself to the world. So she was to rejoice. Why? Because she was chosen. It says she was favored. The favor was in the call. The favor to her was in the call of what she was being entrusted to do. It was not in the response. The favor was not in the response of the religious leaders of the day. No. It was not in the experience of seeing her son ultimately die on the cross. The favor was not in the popularity of her community. The favor was in being chosen. All this favor, blessing, and being chosen, however, does not mean when you have favor or are loved by God that you won't have struggles. Ask people around you. Even though you're a Christian, there still will be struggles. And so you say, well, God has chosen. You are highly favored. God has chosen you. And you say, well, how is she qualified? What qualified Mary to carry the baby Jesus? It was not because of her status in society. She was a common girl. It was not because of her experience that she had already many children and she could easily raise another one. No, she was young and that was her first child. It was not because she had influence in the community. She had very little. It was not because of her wealth. She could not provide the wealth, the comfort of a wealthy family. She was chosen because of her character. Her character. She had a character God could trust and entrust with the birth and development of Jesus. So young people, as you think of what you can bring to the world and how you could form a home that would be best for your future children, remember God chose Mary not because of all the surrounding benefits or wealth she had. She was chosen because she had a character that God could entrust Jesus to be in that home. Mary, in her character, she was comfortable to be in the presence of God. She could be entrusted with a baby through the stages of the development. She would model in her own life the kind of life that would be good for Jesus. And she had chosen a husband that also was walking with God. She chose to defer gratification because she was still a virgin. And she was a woman of decision, as was seen in the story, "Be it unto me as the handmaid of the Lord." She would teach all she knew about a loving God to Jesus. She would model a sincere walk with God. She would provide balanced meals. She would govern her household well. She would treat her husband with unselfishness and love. And she would be consistent in regular worship of God. So when you start down to verse 31, the angel has a direct message for Mary from God. And the message was, in verse 31, you will conceive in your womb. You will have a son. You will call his name Emmanuel. Now, if you think through the eyes of Mary, I'm going to have a son. I'm going to call his name Jesus. All the things the angel has said up to now, all of this she could easily conclude, I can do with Joseph. She didn't see the need of any miracle. Joseph and I can have a son, yeah. There are other people in the Bible that had special sons. Everyone from Sarah to Manoah's wife and Samson. They were miracle children. And, of course, we're about to get married. We're betrothed. And so everything up till now, she could easily think is going to happen with Joseph. But the Bible doesn't stop there. You will conceive in your womb. You'll have a son, verse 31. You shall call his name Jesus. And then come down to verse 34. She's asking the angel, now, help me bring this together. She says, how can this be, since I do not know a man? How can it be? If you come down to her responses in verse 30, she said, it's fear. And then she asked the great question, how can this be? How can this be? Now, the angel reveals to her how this can be in verse 35. The angel said, the Holy Spirit is going to be involved, and you're going to have a son by the power of from on high. He'll be a holy person, and shall be called the Son of God. The child is no ordinary child. He's the Son of God. Mary, the trusted, will be entrusted with the Son of God. Mary, the common girl of Nazareth, the inexperienced mom, the mom without wealth, position, or power, she's going to be entrusted with this child. If you think through Mary's eyes, she may have some questions in her mind. What's happening here? Number one question I would tend to think she would go through is, how come you're discussing this with me and not with Joseph? How come you're only talking to me? How will he respond when he hears about my having a child? How will I know if I'm pregnant? And how will this news be received in the community? Come down to verse 26. There are different ways that the angel persuades Mary that this is from God and it's something that she should be excited about. First of all, he says in verse 26, he tells her who he is and that God is the source of the message. I am Gabriel. He introduces his name. And they always say, if you want to break down a barrier, tell your name. I am Gabriel from the presence of God. I bring a message. I send a message that's in harmony with your hope of the Messiah. And by telling her of the miracle that's happened with Elizabeth and that she is 6 months along. And then declares in verse 37, which is a promise that all of us need to keep in mind as we go through life's journey. Verse 37, for with God, what? Nothing is impossible. Do you believe that? That's a tough one sometimes. God must act in harmony with all of his laws. No, the story of the Bible is God can use the laws of nature to his ability and will. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. If God can give a baby to a senior citizen, if he can stop the lion's mouth, if he can open the Red Sea, he certainly can intervene in anything in our lives. So by opening that, he opens the possibility for Mary to check it out. And by saying that Elizabeth is with child, she is able to go and check it out, which she does. And it says in verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. With haste. She wanted to check it out. Because if she found that Elizabeth was with child, what did that tell her? It told her, hey, I'm going to have pregnancy. She's not going to know that the first day. How many days before you really know, ladies, that you're pregnant? 2 months? 3 months? Well, yeah. There's a way to tell really quick. Okay. In those days, probably not quite as quick, and you can ask all kinds of interesting questions around that. But when she came in to Mary, what happened to the baby that was in her Mary in Elizabeth's? When she came to Elizabeth, what happened to the baby that was in Elizabeth's womb? It leaped, right? And Elizabeth, it says, filled with the Holy Spirit, started to praise God of heaven and give a testimony. In verse 42, blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. We generally don't think how great a woman Mary really was. We need to say, wow, this young lady had prepared herself in character, was open to God to be used in that way. And just think, heaven made the decision who the mom would be. Most of us didn't have that decision, right? We didn't have that. We didn't decide our moms, but Jesus did. What was Mary's response? Verse 38. Mary's response when she heard this, it was, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. How is the community going to receive this? Well, we know how the community received it later on because John 8 says, as they were accusing Jesus, this one that was born of Mary, do you remember what they accused? We were not born of fornication. So what did they think about Mary in their research? This was an illegitimate child. We were not born of fornication, they accused Jesus of in John chapter 8. After Elizabeth gives her praise, It's beautiful how Mary enters into a praise, and it begins in verse 46 and goes through to the end of the chapter. And as you take a look at that, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. He has regarded the lowly estate of his handmaid. So what does that tell you about her? Tell she was a common girl. Nothing in appearance would encourage people to think highly of her, but she had a character that God saw was exceptional. He has regarded the lowly state of his handmaid, and behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. And that goes through different characteristics of God. Talks about he's mighty, he's holy. Verse 50, he's merciful. Verse 51, he has shown his strength. He has scattered the proud. He's put down the mighty. He exalts the lowly in 52, and he sent away empty those that focus on riches in verse 53. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, Abraham, and to his seed. And it says Mary remained with her for how many months? So how close is Elizabeth to her giving birth to John the Baptist? It was there. That's right. It was right at around the time, 9 months. No indication that it took place before she left. Now, remember after the angel talked to her, it said she made haste to go and check with Elizabeth. There is no indication in that. In fact, the indication is that she didn't talk to Joseph at all. So if you go back to Joseph's story in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found. And I underlined, was found. Who found her to be pregnant? Joseph. Now, gentlemen, Joseph was not a happy camper. The speculation would be, wow, Mary has been unfaithful to me while we have been apart. It's interesting because Matthew chapter 1 shows that God permitted Mary and Joseph to go through a faith test. Mary truly believed the angel, and there's no question that she was found now, at least after 3 months, that she was starting to show. And can you imagine when the two met, and Mary is all excited about telling Joseph, and he looks down and says, Mary, are you pregnant? And she tells a story, and how many of you men would have believed that story? It would have been a tough one, right? It would have been a tough one, because that just didn't happen. But he knew the character of Mary, and he loved her very much, and as he thought about putting her away privately instead of making a public example, then that angel came and said, no, Joseph, what Mary is saying is true, and you can take her to be your wife, which he rose up and did as soon as he woke up from the dream. So it is interesting here that sometimes God will call us to something special, reveal his will to us, and we think everything is going to go smoothly, but often he permits a faith testing moment in that experience. Someone doesn't believe you, someone doesn't respond in that faith testing moment as it was with Joseph. And Joseph, it says in verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That word he, I circled. Why? If he called the name, it tells you that he bought into the experience. Otherwise, you say, it's your son, you call him whatever you want. But he called the child Jesus. Being chosen and blessed does not prevent Mary from having struggles. Why was she not told to involve Joseph in heaven's plan? Why did she have struggles with Joseph if God was in this? Can I really trust God's strategy? Why do people not believe me and accuse me of fornication? How is it possible to raise the Messiah when I am a young girl? Interesting strategy of God, isn't it? But God is an unpredictable strategist from times. And the strategy of God has chosen a common girl to have her first child, a young girl, a virgin. He sends common people to welcome the shepherds directly from Bethlehem. Most interestingly, he didn't tell Joseph ahead of time about Mary's pregnancy and creates a faith crisis in their relationship. In a culture of male leadership, God encourages the independence of Mary to make the decision to accept the child. He decides Jesus would be born in a barn. What an awesome God to step down to that level. He has Jesus come as a helpless, dependent baby, not as a king riding downtown on a white horse. The sun arrives while they're in Bethlehem, by the shepherds who saw and heard the angels, by Simon at the registration of the firstborn, and Anna the prophet while in the temple, by the wise men from the east. It is enough. The journey has begun. With her baby embraced in her arms and her heart committed to God, she steps into her destiny and history to welcome and to raise the Son of God. She is trusted by God and entrusted by God. To young people that are here today, God is looking today for those of you who are willing to invest in your character and develop your character in harmony with God. To the rest of us, the story of Mary and Elizabeth is a call for our willingness to cooperate with the young and together to be used by God in His service. The call of God is more to do with character than it does with advantages. The call of Christmas is to receive the gift of heaven, the gift into our lives. Give back the gift of ourselves to God to be used as He sees best. God is looking for people of character at times like this to do His bidding, influence for His cause. The question that we have, each of us, is not only am I willing, but am I preparing? So in the Christmas season, may we think of the great gift, and may we think of this great young person who gave her life in a commitment to the cause of God and be faithful to Him, shall we pray. We want to thank You, Lord, for the great story of this young lady, one who was willing when asked by God to do His service, who had developed her character, even though she was a young person, to be recognized in heavenly places as the one that could be entrusted with the baby Jesus. And may our young people realize today they don't have to be big people to love Jesus. They don't have to be big people to develop a character of loving Jesus and to live up to all they know to do right. And may their characters blossom out and to be used by You, God, as You see best. And may all of us work together to exalt the great gift that's entrusted to us in Jesus. And over this holiday season, there may be temptations to indulge, to cross some lines, boundaries that we shouldn't cross because we are tempted by relatives as they push it on us. Help us to love and to honor and, enjoy our good, relaxing times, but to honor You in all that we do. And remember, to bring a gift for the Lord's work, to encourage that to go forward, recognizing that Jesus has come to save the world. So we thank You we can honor Jesus at this season of the year. We thank You we can honor Mary today, a great woman of Yours. In Jesus' name, amen.